God's infinite and eternal blessings are ready to flow into your life right now. Eternal blessings flow. This is the key to understanding what our real life is about, what our spiritual life is about, and how that spiritual life can move in our lives. Let's just say together, eternal blessings flow. Eternal blessings flow. And see, and that's just one of those absolute statements that is the truth. It's the truth about God, and it's the truth about what God is doing in every moment. Sometimes we catch an image of God as being like a great clockmaker who created the universe and set it going and then walked away. But that's not what God is about. God is an integral part of creation and is in the midst of creation, continually bringing forth wonderful blessings, continually pouring forth great and wonderful things. Now, one of the things that always fascinates me about the Bible is how ideas progress at different points through the Bible. If we look at one of the early Psalms, Psalm 69, in verse 13 it says, and this is what the psalmist is saying, I pray to you, O Lord, in the time of your favor, in your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. And then Isaiah, later in, this is during the time of Babylonian captivity, Isaiah 49:8, the prophet speaks and says, this is what the Lord says, in the time of my favor, I will answer you. In the day of my salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant of the people. I will restore the land and reassign its desolate inheritances. And again, we can think historically, he's making a promise to them in captivity, saying, I'll bring you back to the land and make things work again. But again, to us in this time, what he's saying is the places where it feels like we are missing the inheritance of spirit, where we feel desolate in some way, that the Spirit will move and work. But then in Paul's letter, second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 2, he says, quoting the Isaiah, he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of my salvation, I helped you. So change it to as if it's already happened. And then he says, but I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the time of the salvation. There was a lady named, let me get her name right, Eleonora Carman, who lived in North Camden, Ohio. And she had lost her wedding ring when she was fishing one time. And 23 years later, she was going to her Catholic church with her friend. They were walking to church for bingo night. And her friend Joe was telling her about how she had caught three catfish fishing the other day, and Eleonora said, well, if you're ever fishing and you catch a fish and you find a wedding ring in there, it's my wedding ring. And her friend Joe said, well, what did your ring look like? And she says, well, it was a gold, a white gold ring, and it had my initials and our wedding day on it. She says, I'll meet you at church. And her friend Joe went home and came back, and she had found the ring earlier laying on the shore of the lake. And when she gave it back to Eleanor, because she was excited, and she took it to the priest, and she wanted the priest to bless the ring, and he says, honey, that ring's already blessed. And see, and that's the key for us, is that we're already blessed. We're already a part of God's eternal flow of good. And now is the day of God's favor. Now is the day that the salvation of the Spirit is working in our lives. Now, we are so used to thinking that it's not going to work out the way we want, that our health isn't going to work out, that our finances aren't going to work out, that our relationships are going to work out. And we hear the things of the world. We watch Jerry Springer or whatever and see the way that, you know, society just seems to be falling apart. And I found, here's some things that somebody sent me. These were actual classified ads. Are you illiterate? Write today for free help. Auto repair service, free pickup and delivery. Try us once, you'll never go anywhere again. Dog for sale, eats anything and is fond of children. Man wanted to work in dynamite factory, must be willing to travel. Stock up and save, limit one. Used cars. Why go anywhere else to be cheated? Come here first. Wanted. Hair cutter. Excellent growth potential. Wanted. Man to take care of cow that does not smoke or drink. We will oil your sewing machine and adjust tension in your home. I like that last one. And see, recognizing that whatever is put forth, there's always several ways to look at it, isn't it? And as we look at life, to realize that in this moment, it may not look like it's working for us, but the truth is always the same, that God's infinite and eternal blessings are ready to flow into our lives right now. I remember when I was about 9 years old, we lived in Minnesota, and we went to visit Lake Itasca. And some of you may have seen some of the motorhomes that have Itasca on it. And Itasca is the lake where the Mississippi River starts. And it's not that big a lake, and it has underground spring that feeds the lake. But coming out of the lake is the mighty Mississippi. And it's about this wide. And I remember as a nine-year-old, what I wanted to do, I wanted to step 1 foot on one side and 1 foot on the other side. I said, I'm straddling the Mississippi. And realizing in our lives that many times when we think of the Mississippi River, we think of the powerful river as it's, you know, down flowing through Louisiana, and the mud and the silt from the Mississippi is spread all over the Caribbean. I mean, that's how powerful that river is. But at its beginning, it's small enough that you could stand with your feet on either side. And to realize as we think about this flow of God's good, sometimes we say, well, it's not enough. But if we follow along, if we allow it to grow, if we allow it to unfold the way it will become a mighty flow. Just as that Mississippi River starts small and grows into something more. But we have to stay with it. We have to keep our attention and move with its activity and how it's working in life. There was a man in the 60s who was driving down the street in Alabama, and there was an older African-American woman who was on the side of the road with the car broken down, and the rain was just pouring down, and she was drenched. And he stopped to pick her up, and at this time in the 60s in Alabama, this would not be something for a white man to stop and help a black lady. But he did, couldn't get the car started, so he took her into town, and she seemed to be in a hurry, but didn't say why. And he took her in, and she got a taxi to where she needed to go, and before she left, she got his name and number. And he didn't think anything of it. Well, a week later, there's a knock on his door, and a delivery company comes, and they deliver one of those huge, remember the council with the TV and the stereo equipment all in one thing? They delivered one of those to his house with this letter that was attached to it. It said, Dear Mr. James, thank you so much for assisting me on the highway the other night. The rain drenched not only my clothes, but also my spirits. Then you came along. Because of you, I was able to make it to my dying husband's bedside before he passed away. God bless you for helping me and unselfishly serving others. Sincerely, signed, Mrs. Nat King Cole. The key with these blessings of God is to not only know that they're flowing to us, but to know that as we express them, we open up the way for them to work. And it's recognizing it's not just about receiving, but about opening up our lives so that we become the expression of the Christ moment by moment. And that's what our whole book of Revelation is about. And just for a very quick review, remember, chapter 1 starts out with an image of the radiant Christ. And it uses all these different words to try to describe the experience of light, just the radiance of light, and recognizing how limited words are. And when you read that vision, and if you just use a little bit of imagination, you can capture the sense of what was revealed to John about the powerful presence of the Christ that is light standing beyond time, beyond space, as an eternal reality. And then we have the seven letters to the seven churches, which is about talking to us about states of consciousness within us that need to be opened up so they can be something more. And then we have the seven seals that were open, that led to the seven trumpets that were blown, that led to the seven bowls of plagues that were pouring out, and we had two beasts and a serpent and the harlot and the fall of the city of Babylon. Remember all of that, those of you who live in here? all those things. And remember that all this is about recognizing who we are and who we aren't. And what we need to release and allow the Spirit to move out of our lives so that we can be established in this consciousness. And then comes the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. And Jerusalem means city of peace or habitation of peace. A new consciousness of peace coming down into our experience, into our lives, into our reality. And then we have the culmination here, chapter 22. And again, for me, we could have jumped just to chapter 22 and read this wonderful stuff. But realizing that we have to move through a lot of things and move a lot of things out of our lives so we can have this powerful experience. Now, there's enough things in here. I could probably do about 8 lessons just on this chapter by itself. Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life. Remember, Jesus talked about living water, that if we drank from that, we'd never be thirsty again. Clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. So it's moving. And we'll hear. Now, it's interesting. I was reading one of the commentators today, and he's saying that it talks about God Almighty and the Lamb. And it said if we were going to write it in Western terms, we would say God Almighty and the puppy, to give a sense of what Lamb meant to the Eastern people. The Lamb wasn't just part of their livestock, but for them it was like a pet. And so to think of God Almighty, the allness of God, but also that intimate, loving presence of God, both of those. And out of the throne, which means out of where God is seated in us, there is this flow of living water. Now the next part, it says, on each side of the river stood the tree of life. And I've been reading all kinds of commentaries, and nobody says anything about this. How can a tree stand on each side of the river? If you try to get a picture of that, you know, what's your picture? And make it work out. And all of a sudden it dawned on me that in Jewish mysticism, the tree of life was very similar to the Hindu yoga seven chakras in the body, and that there were different energy points in the body that they called the tree of life. And so what flows through the center of that? Our spinal cord. The living water is the energy of God that pours through us, that brings forth this tree of life that it's called, which is an expression of Christ through our humanity, through our bodies, through our lives. It's about that living presence of God right in the midst of us. And it says that the leaves of this tree are for the healing of the nation. And it's not about taking these leaves and, you know, breaking them up and making some kind of paste and putting them on our body or eating it or something like that. But it's about what is a part of a tree. The leaves are there. And so the expression of this tree of life in us is meant for healing, is meant for wholeness in our lives. And it says that it was bearing 12 crops of fruit or 12 types of fruit in every month. And some people say that there's one fruit in every month, one fruit each month, but it says 12 in every month. So if you have fruit trees, you know, you're waiting for them to blossom and then for the fruit to grow. But what this says is that this tree of life is ever ready for us to eat of the fruits. No longer will there be any curse. And again, remember going back to the first stories in Genesis about Adam and Eve. And they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then what happened? They were cursed, weren't they? Adam was told that you'll have to now not just eat this fruit, but you'll have to till the ground. And it's not going to bring forth what you want. It's going to bring forth weeds instead of what you want. And Eve was told that as you bear your children, it will be in pain. So that was the curse. But see, here the curse is no more, because we're moving out of the consciousness of good and evil, of things might be okay, are being caught up in appearances, and being established in the reality of God, this tree of life flowing in and through us. And the throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face. Now, one of the big things in the Old Testament was that if you saw God face to face, you would die. You know, and Moses and Elijah and all the others, like whenever God was coming, they were told to turn their back so they wouldn't die. But here it says, we'll see God face to face. And again, how do we see God face to face? Is by looking for that presence and beginning to identify it within ourselves, within the other people in our lives. Seeing this is how God shows up for us. And we can be that. Then it says, his name will be on their foreheads. We've talked about that before. The name on the forehead means that it's in your consciousness, in your awareness. It's in your attention, and you're thinking about it. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. So again, we're just established in that consciousness. The angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. And again, historical sense, this was written almost 2,000 years ago. So historically, it hasn't taken place soon. But it's again about us being ready for that presence of God, the Christ, to be soon expressing in greater and greater ways in and through us. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel. And remember, angel really means message or the word of God. I fell down at that word of God that came to me. But the message, the angel said, don't do it. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and all who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Worship God. Then he said, do not seal up the words of this prophecy in the book, because the time is near. Now, the old apocalyptic writings of Ezekiel and Daniel, they were instructed to seal up the prophecy, not to tell it. But here John has said, don't seal it up, because it's unfolding now. It's already opening. Again, if you think of the way that most of their communication was done by scroll, and it would be rolled up and a seal would be put on it. So he says, don't seal it, because it's unfolding, it's unrolling, it's opening up into expression in our lives right now. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. Let him who is holy continue to be holy. Well, what's that about? Don't we want people to improve? Well, again, it's up to our own consciousness. And we have to choose where we're coming from. God can do a lot, but we have to be open channels for it. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, beginning and the end. Again, just all-encompassing. That's what God's saying. This is an all-encompassing reality. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they might have the right to the tree of life and go through the gates into the city. Again, remember earlier we talked about that the robes represented the acts of righteousness, living in that right consciousness, expressing that right consciousness. So washing your robes means washing out that which isn't a part of this, so that we can put on this sense of the presence of God and then move forward in life with that. Outside of the city are the dogs. And again, dogs, you know, if we would call someone a cur, or a dog or something like that. So it's referring to people who aren't holy. Dogs were considered unclean. Outside of the dogs, those who practice magic arts, who are sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, everyone who loves and practices falsehood. So again, anything that is not a part of God will be set aside, won't be allowed in this consciousness that we're holding of God. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. Again, there's so many images in here. The root and the offspring of David. These were Old Testament terms that were used again and again about the hope of God restoring the kingdom of David, the lineage of David into expression again. And it would talk about the stump of David, because as if Israel, the nation of Israel, was like a tree that had been cut off because they'd been captured and taken over. So it says, out of the root of the stump of Jesse, who was David's father, will come a shoot. And that was their expectation, that even out of desolation, even out of destruction, something would rise up, new birth would begin. I remember when I was attending UCSD, there was a beautiful eucalyptus grove, and there was one eucalyptus tree that had been knocked over like this, but its roots were, there was still enough roots in the ground, and what happened is, it looked like there were trees growing up. What had been branches now were becoming trees, growing up out of that. So even out of destruction, new life can come forth. And I am the bright morning star. When do you see the bright morning star? When it's still dark. And you see that morning star, and you know, aha, the light is coming, the day is coming. So again, this is an image of whatever, however dark it seems, whatever disappointment there has been, there is something new. The new day is dawning. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The choir had a song a couple weeks ago where this is one of the lines in it. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. We go, huh? The Spirit and the Bride. The Bride, again, was considered to be the church. But it's about us wanting to be wedded to the Christ. And the Spirit within us and the Bride say, come. Let this experience come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Again, Jesus said, do you want this living water? And the woman, the Samaritan woman says, I want that water. And she brought her family and friends as well to say, this is what we want. We have a thirst, and it's really a spiritual thirst. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy, of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. So we go, oh, danger, danger. But what this is about, again, remember that at this time, most people did not read. And if you wanted to copy a book, you couldn't just go to the Xerox machine. There wasn't any B. Daltons to go to buy a book. You'd have to copy it by hand. And there was a tendency when people would copy it to add their own ideas in. And if you've done any research at all, you realize that in even what are considered the oldest texts of the Bible, there are differences. Words are added, some words are taken out, because as people were writing, they said, well, we don't need that, or what he really meant to say was this. And somebody is saying, don't do that. And of course, in a metaphysical sense, it's saying, we don't need to add anything else other than what God is to our experience. That's the one reality. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in the book. In other words, focus on what God is, and let all that God is be what's working in you. And then the very last verse, he which testifies to these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen, which means so it is. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And then the ending, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So again, I mean, a lot of images, a lot of symbols that are working here. But basically what the whole theme is about is to recognize who we are as spiritual beings, as children of God, sons and daughters of the Most High, made in the image and likeness of God. And to live from that, to let the fullness of that be a flow of blessings that's continually working. And so we go back to our phrase, eternal blessings flow. And if we're looking at our body, eternal blessings flow as health, as healing. For my body. Let's say, eternal blessings flow as healing for my body. Together? Eternal blessings flow as healing for my body. And even if it seems like that healing power is just a real little stream right now that's pouring through, know that as we stay with it, it will grow into that full expression of God's life. One of my favorite affirmations from Silent Unity is, mighty currents of God's healing love flow through me now. It may not seem like that right in this moment, but I hold to that. I follow that thought. I follow that belief, and it will grow into that fullness of expression. We can think eternal blessings flow as love in my relationships. Let's say that. Eternal blessings flow as love in my relationships. And again, we may look right now and say, well, it doesn't look like it's a big flow. In fact, there's one song that says, narrow channels barely open, flow between us. You know, and he says, and the song goes on, how I want to just be immersed, totally immersed in that sense of oneness, in that sense of love. And so we hold with eternal blessings flow as love in my relationships. Eternal blessings flow as God's divine abundance. Let's say that. Eternal blessings flow as God's divine abundance. And again, we may look, well, look at my wallet, you know. Look at my checkbook. Look at my bank account. Where are those eternal blessings? Well, they're there. It may just be, again, a small trickle in your life. But stay with the truth that God is at work. Stay with the truth that God has nothing else to do except pour forth good into your life. And as we come back to that thought again and again and again, it displaces the thoughts of limitation. It displaces the belief in not enough. It moves us into a realm of believing and experiencing God's good in every moment. So what is it for you that you want to believe that eternal blessings flow? What aspect of your life are you ready to receive? You know, there's an old saying about asking, what kind of a vessel do we come to God with to receive? Do we come with a teacup or a thimble? Do we come with a bucket? Do we back up a tanker truck? Or do we just hook up a pipeline and let it flow? See, in our consciousness, we decide how we're going to receive, how we're going to let it move through. And the thing is that I wish that I could decide once and then I'd be done. But each moment we have to decide. Each moment we have to remember, I am connected with God's eternal blessing of good. Because in the next moment, if I just let the world direct my thinking, I'm going to forget. I'm going to be living in littleness again, living in lack. But God's truth is always there, and it echoes in our minds, eternal blessings flow. There was a couple that had a son in preschool, and they would have different parents come on different times to be with and be a part of the preschool experience. And so they said that when it was reading time, they were, you know, reading with the kids, and it was play time, they were playing with the kids. And what they did, one of the reading time, the teacher read a book called Big, and it talked about the difference between things that are big and things that are little. Some of you may have seen the book if you have kids. And after the teacher read the book, she asked the kids, well, what makes you feel big? And one kid says, ants make me feel big. Another person said, mosquitoes make me feel big. And then the class almost went into a little riot there as we were, you know, yelling. Finally, she said, no, so I'm going to only let people who raise their hand answer. So one little girl, Jessica, raised her hand. She says, Jessica, what makes you feel big? She says, well, my mommy makes me feel big. I said, well, how does your mommy make you feel big? When she hugs me and says, I love you, Jessica. See, and so what makes us feel like we're a part of this eternal blessing flows when we know that God loves us and we let that love of Spirit work in our lives. God's infinite and eternal blessings are ready to flow into your life. We just need to make our claim and to stand in the consciousness of the radiance of the Christ that is ready to illuminate us in every moment, whatever experience we're having. Eternal blessings flow. Let us pray. Dear God, we are ready to be immersed. We are ready to dig deep channels for your Spirit, to have room in us, in our minds and hearts, in our bodies and our lives, in our finances and our relationships, for your Spirit to fulfill the Christ experience, to fulfill the good. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. Mills away, I invite you to close your eyes. Let's take a breath together, a breath of that living water, and let ourselves be at peace. And to know that God's infinite and eternal blessings are ready to flow in our lives is good. But we want to open up the channels to give space for that living presence to fill and to work and to pour forth. So what do you need to carve out in consciousness? Do you need to carve out some disappointment? Make room for that living water. Carve out some unforgiveness and let a fullness of love flow. Carve out a littleness of thinking and see that God has ever greater good to work as ideas and expression through our lives. To carve out a space of love to embrace those who are in our lives with a love that is bigger than us, that a love that is bigger than the world, with a love that is bigger than the universe. Infinite and eternal is the energy of God. Infinite and eternal is the capacity of the Christ in us. Dear God, how grateful we are that whatever our circumstances, your blessings are at work as a healing flow, as an illuminating flow, as a joyous flow, as a loving flow. Your Spirit pours itself into us and through us into the things of our lives. And just as if we would watch the sparkle of the light on the surface of a stream, we see the sparkle of your light as it flows through us in the things of our lives. We see your Spirit and its radiance moving powerfully, steadily, ever increasing, until the whole world, the whole of space, is filled . Dear God, we give thanks that you do not stint, but ever pour your good in us and through us. And so, dear God, we take hold of this moment. We take hold of your presence in the midst of us, that we may let go into your blessing, into your peace in the silence. Dear God, we are lovingly grateful for the work of your Spirit in our lives. We look forward to even greater expressions of your good. And in this moment, we think of those others for whom we pray, loved ones and friends, people around the world. We see them in your presence. We see them made light. We see them made whole. We see them creative, expressive, and at peace in your presence. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. And now let's sing together the Malatz version of the Lord's Prayer, number 2 in the hymnal.